History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. And they don't have to go untold. We've learned that because as long as some of us are willing to take a little bit of initiative and ask a few questions, and then, of course, to be patient enough to listen as some of those long-buried memories start to spring to life again, we're always amazed by what comes back our way. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And in the process, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we really do end up inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. There's been increased interest and attention surrounding World War II lately because of current events in the world. The man we have the privilege of meeting today has seen quite a bit in his 97 years on the planet. He spent most of that time in Gilroy, California, famous, of course, for garlic. I'm sure there was a fair amount of garlic in the Italian delicacies he consumed growing up in the Golden State. Al Gagliardi was one of three brothers to serve in World War II. Only two of them came home. 77 years ago, right now, Al was still on the island of Iwo Jima, helping to secure it with the 147th Infantry Regiment. But before we touch on all of that, let's go back to the early days. And this part of California has changed quite a bit over the last 80 years or so. Can you tell me what it was like to grow up around San Jose and Gilroy in the 1920s and 30s?
Of course, I was born in 1924, so I was just starting off. As a boy, I was born 24 in San Jose, and of course, San Jose to me was a big, big city. My dad, he wanted to buy the whole country here. Said he wanted to buy from that mountain to the other mountain. And so he bought 10 acres down here in San Jose. I was 2 years old. Well, my mother, she didn't like that, you know, because she was in the city and had a nice house and had a flush toilet. And my dad said, oh, I'll build a nice house there in Gilroy. So my dad finally did buy the property, and we moved down here about 1930. And it was a new world for us because we did live in the city, San Jose. As a young kid, I enjoyed it, you know. Had a lot of kids to play with, and one day I just said, well, we're going to move to Gilroy. Oh, I thought it was great, you know. Started first grade here. I lived out on the farm, mile and a half out of Gilroy. Only had one friend. Him and I became real close friends and chased the jackrabbits down the creek. And when we got old enough, my brother let us use the .22, and we shot cans in the creek and the bottles in the creek. And he taught us all the safety rules. And we went from there, you know, all the way up to 12th grade and graduated, and it was the same situation with everybody that served, I think, you know. Everybody thought it was their duty.
Well, before we get to that, so you had two brothers and a sister, and you said you're living on a farm, so I'm guessing that your parents had you guys pretty busy on the farm. What kinds of chores or work did you have to do, and what were you growing?
Well, we had a prune orchard, and we also were in the chicken business, poultry business. As I remember, 2,500 chickens. We had some rabbits, but the poultry business, you know, was a lot of work. I was kind of limited on some of the athletic work. My dad said, you come home and work.
So you couldn't stay after school to practice football or something. You had to go back and tend to chickens or pick prunes?
Yeah. My dad said, you going to be a bum? He said, you come home and work. There was a lot of chickens. I'd have a lot of feed and take out eggs out of the egg nest and grade them and send them off to market, you know. So I missed out, you know, a lot of the athletics. I didn't mind it too much, really, because that's what I did. And I think 1 year I played football in lightweight and I got by. But then I went to the heavyweight. My dad wasn't too happy with that. I don't know, I had a disagreement with the coach, and I turned my uniform in, and I says, adios. Time war came, he gave me a rifle and said, here, go.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about a lot of that, but I'm interested, too, since, you know, before the war, the Depression years. That's something most of us alive today haven't seen, didn't live through. Did you see or feel some of the effects of that Great Depression here in Gilroy?
Sure. But the thing is, you see, we didn't see it like the Grapes of Wrath because we had a ranch. We had rabbits and chickens, and we could pick greens, orchard. So we didn't suffer like, some of the people in Midwest, and they had a big death storm. Well, they had, but we didn't have that. But we felt it to a certain degree because we never had a nickel, and we never had ice cream. It was just something that we accepted. A different time, we didn't have all the things that we thought that we should have had, but we got by. What else could you do, Of course, my two older brothers, one was 9 years older than me, and the other one was 6 years older. My sister and I, just a couple of little squirts to get the hell out of the way. We couldn't get involved with them. My older brother, to me, was like a king, Anything he said was all right, and he watched over us, too. Because I remember one time some guy in a bicycle, I think it was a paper boy, I don't know, he whacked my brother for some reason, my brother Sal. He said, that guy whom my brother Mike was pretty protective of. He said, who was it? He said, that guy that delivered the paper? Oh, yeah, I know him. And my mother said, Michael, you be careful now. What you doing? Okay, Ma, okay. So here comes that guy right in my... My brother got a handlebar and pow. You touch my brother again, I'll knock your head off. I won't do it, Mike, I won't touch your brother. He cried and hollered, please, please. I thought, boy, my brother was good. That guy never did bother my brother anymore. And I thought that was great because, sometimes I remember in my experience, sometimes I thought my brother didn't like me. I knew my big brother did. He always did something for me. But my second brother, sometimes he didn't hit me or say, you can't do that. But one day we were getting on the bus over here at Jordan School when we got to Gilroy. Bus came right on the school ground. We stood in the line there. Get on a bus, and some bully kind of got and pushed me outside. And boy, my brother Sal jumped in, grabbed that guy. My brother was smaller, started hitting the guy. And he goes, wait a minute, Sal, I'm sorry. He goes, don't you get in front of my brother. He was on the line first. And he goes, well, come here, Albert, come on, get in. And I was kind of really happy and surprised because I didn't think my brother liked me. he's always telling me, get out of the way, don't do that. And leave my football alone and, everything. So, boy, I was really proud that he stood up for me. And my other brothers were a little older. They graduated and left and left me with the chickens.
Being the son of Italian immigrants, did you have an understanding of what your parents had gone through just to get to this country?
No, I never gave it a thought. They talked about different things, the old country. They were all hard workers, working at a farm, make wine, and try to make a buck any way they could. All of them were friendly, My dad made wine. Every farmer we knew made wine. He was an Italian. My dad had 2,500 chickens. Seems like every Italian had chickens. And we had rabbits. Everybody had rabbits. We had ducks. We had geese. Everybody had what we had.
Well, and I think every Italian-American veteran I've interviewed has at least one story about his mother's cooking. Did your mother make some good Italian dishes?
Mama was a good cook. Gee, you bet. Spaghetti, raviolis, tagliarini. And the thing about it was, it'd be a Sunday, and here comes some relatives over. Well, we didn't have an ounce of food in the table. And all of a sudden, suddenly, the table was full. They came and they made the spaghetti and they made the raviolis and they made tagliarini. And the first thing you know, I was out there cutting some vegetables out of the orchard that you eat, And the ladies were making bread and they were cutting that bread up and everybody was working. And first thing I know, I said, I wonder where all this come from. We didn't have nothing to eat. Now there's a big table full of food here, and they had their jug of wine there. Hey, Frank, this is good wine. Number one.
Did they make you go grab a couple chickens, too, or what?
No, they took care of that. Mama took care of that. Thing about the wine was that people came over, like even a stranger came over, it was always a custom, but it doesn't matter, even if you were, well, they called you an American, but you know, we were Italian, you know. And he said, that American came over and he refused a glass of wine. He don't come here no more. Not going to drink my wine. That's it.
You know, you mentioned how the war came along and interrupted your life. But being part of a family that had immigrated from Europe, was your family aware of some of the rumblings of war back in Europe before America got involved?
Oh, yeah. My dad said that's why he left Europe. He said there were war every 10 years. He said had a war. A new dictator came around, and he's going to have a war with you because it's going to make him popular. And my dad says, he was sick and tired every year. Every 10 years, somebody new come along and have another war. They're not supposed to do that. And that's why my dad said, well, he left Europe to come to America, but he couldn't make the first draft because America was closed. They weren't taking anybody. So he had to go to Brazil. And when the earthquake came, well, they needed help, so they opened up the quota, and my dad came to America. But he said, gee, when he came to San Francisco, he said, these Americans are really something. They built a city again. He said, not much work for me. Somebody said, oh, go up to Spokane, a lot of work there. He said, oh, yeah, yeah. My dad went to Spokane, and he said he got a job. But my dad didn't really like it there because, you see, up there was not like Italy. Italy was in the south. You know, where it was a nice climate, like here,
yeah,
like California. And my dad said, I didn't like that cold. And he said, most of them wanted to drink. He said, he didn't want to do that. So he bought the acreage in San Jose. That's the big part I remember. I just remember the first part, that little bit of going to church and being a little squirt. I remember one time, there used to be ice cream. There was a horse and wagon, and the guy had bells on it, you know. And ice cream, ding, 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 you know, ding, ding, ding. And so once in a while, my mother would buy an ice cream. And church was not too far from us. My brother took me to church, Dick Albert to church. And of course, the Catholic church, you know, ding, ding. And I want ice cream. My brother, shut up, and dragged me out the door. He said, shut up, you don't say that. I want ice cream. No, 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 that's a bell. Church, don't say that. I want ice cream. My brother came home, I'm not taking him no more. He wants ice cream all the time.
You may be onto a growth strategy for the church there.
Yeah, that was the end of that.
You said your dad left Europe to, you know, avoid wars, to get away from wars. How did he feel about Mussolini when he took over?
Oh, he thought he was a bum. Oh, my dad had more fights because he'd go to the Italian, you know, we belong to the Italian.
Sons of Italy?
Yeah, and my dad was secretary. And my dad always had to make a speech. And my dad would get up and in Italian, he'd say, Mussolini is a bum. He'd say, Frank, shut up now, Frank. And what's the matter with you? Oh, the guy's no good. He's a bum. And my mother's grabbing him, Frank, shut up. Oh, you're not going to shut up. That guy takes the tanks in Ethiopia, and they got spears. And he's going to shoot him with a tank? What the hell is he? He's no good. Oh, he's going to make a hospital. And he's going to make schools and roads. And oh, he's a bum. Well, geez, we had a good friend, Mondelli, who came over every Sunday. And he said, Frank, you got to be careful what you say, because some of those people like Mussolini. He said, I don't care. He's a bum. He's no good. And then later on, when war, Mussolini was doing some of the bad things. He was worse than Hitler when he started off, you know. But then Hitler took over. Later, when they saw what he was, everyone denied it. Oh, no, we didn't like him. He was, no, you're fine, you're mistaken. He said, he's no good. He's a bum, look what he did. Those people there come with a big tank and shoot him up, and they got a spear.
Well, and when it comes to the war, and I understand you're a collector. I saw some colorful signs outside, Hecker Pass and other you know, mementos out there. But I noticed walking in your door, there's a bell there, and it says December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. So I'm wondering what your memory is of December 7th, 1941, and how you found out about Pearl Harbor.
My brother was at Pearl Harbor when it was attacked. And Jay, We didn't get any information back, you know. And I took my mother for a ride that Sunday. We went to church. I think we had a 1944. My mother said, get on real fast, because Pearl Harbor, Mike's there. Oh, she was really worried, you know. Didn't hear from him. Came home, and they were telling about the attack. And gosh, my mother was just shook up. She was all broke up. Finally, in about 2 or 3 days, he got a phone call through. Told her, oh, no, everything's fine. But he couldn't tell anything about it. Couldn't say ships were damaged, they say. Couldn't tell anything.
What ship was he on?
Well, he was on a supply ship. I think it was the Arctic. And he was right there along the where the battle fleet was here, when he was here delivering. But, you know, they were aiming at the battle wagons. He said they were flying. Gosh, he said they were flying right over us, you know. Here they were on a merchant ship, and they were credited for shooting the first Japanese down. Because, you know, some of the big ships had to get permission from you to open a locker, but you had to get it from so-and-so else, who had to get a key, and so on. And by the time they were shooting the hell out of you, you know. So meanwhile, my brother said, we shot one plane down, and they were credited for it anyway.
Was your brother Sal already in the service too, or no?
He went in the National Guard, and as soon as that happened, they were in the regular army.
Did you know right away that you were going to be involved eventually too, or did it take a while for you to figure that out?
Yeah, it took a while. I didn't even give it a thought.
And you're in high school at the time, so you're 17. Was that your senior year?
Yeah, well, the 42 then became my graduating year. We were the year that kind of suffered the most in high school as far as the war, because we couldn't have an annual, because all the ink and the paper went to war, and with other things we couldn't have, and we had to collect junk and pots and pans and everything for the war effort. So we were, you know, we were really hustling, trying to get, they said they needed these different things. You know, we did the best we could. Never expected it to be what it was, because, you know, you're young, you don't know anything about this.
Was it hard for you, you know, as a 17-year-old kid, to know that your two older brothers are out there fighting this war and you don't know if they're going to come back?
Well, no, because really, you know, all of us thought that we were all going to have to produce. All the girls, you know, cried. We said, well, what the hell are you crying about? I said, we're going to go, we'll kick the heck out of them. So little by little, you know, because we did make a fast comeback, because, you know, the United States of America had no army, had nothing. We had a good battle fleet, but gee, they sunk some of them. Good thing our carriers weren't there. We'd have been in a heck of a spot. Gosh, we were really concerned about getting strong and being able. And, you know, it was surprising that just within a short period of time, we're coming back at them.
I'm curious, too, you know, so Gilroy High School, after December 7th, did things change around school? Were guys gone? Did you see people treated differently?
Well, you know, we were a small area. You know, you're talking about less than 100 students. We didn't feel like the big, big cities.
Do you have any classmates who were Japanese-American?
Yeah, I had a lot of them. They were good people. I miss them, by golly.
They probably got taken away, right?
Yeah, well, some of them were taken away, but a lot of them went to war.
Well, and at first they wouldn't let them serve. They said, you're an enemy alien and you can't. I just wonder if that, you know, since we didn't live that, it seems so hard to understand now. What about then? Was that something that you said, hey, that's my buddy from class or from the football team?
Yeah. Well, there was a few guys that were nasty about it. Said doggone Jap and all of them, you know. But I was proud of them, you know.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize, a lot of people know about the internment of Japanese Americans, but they don't realize that the same thing happened on a smaller scale at times to German Americans and Italian Americans. And even over here in Monterey, they moved a lot of them off the coast, a lot of the Italian Americans. Was there any concern in your family that you guys were going to be treated differently because you were Italian?
Well, in a way there was, because, you know, we were Italian. They said something about, well, they're getting to the Germans and the Italians probably come next, but it never did materialize. We escaped that, all right.
It's time for our first break, but there's much more to come with 97-year-old Al Gagliardi of Gilroy, California. His oldest brother, Mike, was at Pearl Harbor. His other brother, Sal, would tragically be killed in action in Europe before the war came to an end. But what did Al experience in the Pacific? We'll hear it in his own words when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.